Hello, my name's Steve Case. I am the son of Pastor Ron, if you didn't know. And before I get started, I'd like to thank everybody who donated. We couldn't have done it without you. It was really helpful. And I'd also like to thank Tony, Aaron, Mrs. Vogel, Bobby, Diane, Sherry, and Rick. They were all of our leaders, and they were very helpful, and I'm really glad they were here. So when we got there, if all the days are laid out, you have worship, you have a message, and then you have worship again, and then you have free time for about 6 hours. At night, it's the rinse and repeat, worship, message, worship. And I thought that was such a great setup with worship, like worshiping God is so great, and then you do a message, and then you end it with that too. It was such an amazing way to set it up. There was a couple of moments that really impacted me. There was one message that was about prayer that was I thought was so good that it really helped me with prayer, which is something I've always struggled with a lot, so I'm really glad I was able to do that. Being with people, I'm not very good at making new friends, so being there with a bunch of people that are a lot like me, it was really sweet to make new friends. I still connect with people from there today. I live in Colorado, and one of them lives in California. It's nice to connect with people. The speakers, we had 5 speakers, one for each day, or 4 speakers, one for each day, and each of them taught a class for different age groups. And my teacher was Mark Scott. He teaches in a church in Colorado, and I thought he was just amazing, a very enlightened, anointed man. It was amazing. He talked about Joseph, temptation, stuff like that, how Joseph was able to overcome it with Potiphar's wife, stuff like that. And it hit home with me because I've struggled with that, stuff like that. And it's very great to have someone teach to a whole group but feel like he's teaching to you too on a personal level. It was very nice to connect with some of the youth, even though I'm not in youth anymore. It was nice to meet some of the new faces like Caitlin. I was very impacted by her. She gave her life to the Lord at NYR, and I was very proud of her, and I was so glad she was able to do that. And I connected with Sierra, Elise, and so many. I was connected with all of you, but it was so great to get to know them even more and more through this literal mountaintop experience, which is really amazing. So it was very nice to disconnect from the world. I'm very entertainment-oriented. I like to have something in my face all the time, like YouTube or a movie, Netflix, something like that. So not actually having it forced out of my hand was a good thing. And so I had to find other things to occupy my time. We had about 6 hours of free time, so I went out and connecting with people and praying with people. It was just a very great time. There was one night that I really felt enlightened was during one of the praise and worships at night. It started raining, and it was so amazing. It was like kind of windy. I'm just going to paint the picture for you. It's kind of windy and raining, sprinkling, and during all this praise and worship, every night they had people come down like we just did and have people pray for you and stuff like that. And it was such an amazing experience. I could really feel the Lord there. It was such a great experience that night. I felt so great. And we have what's called family time after the last music. And that, it was just such an amazing night for me. And it really changed me, hopefully for the better. And one of their main focuses for the camp was to take what you learned on the mountain and bring it home with you and keep it so that you can use it for ministry and stuff like that. It's just such a great time. I had a wonderful time, a great experience, and I'm glad I was able to go. Thank you. And next, your next speaker is going to be Mariah Vogel.
Hey, good morning, everyone. How are you? My name is Mariah, if you don't know, and I recently went with the group to NYR, beautiful Colorado. I seriously want to move there. Seriously, not kidding. when I first got to the camp, I wasn't really expecting much to happen. I expected something to happen, but not really. I didn't really know what to expect. And boy, was I really wrong about that, because something changed so much that I seriously did not know how to write this paper. I was just like, God, just guide my hands and tell me what to say. And, you know, for the first few days of camp, I really wasn't quite sure about it. I really, really, really liked the messages, and the band was amazing. But nothing really caught my attention at first until Wednesday night. Wednesday night, the night it was raining, like Steve said, we started walking to the valley, and it was overcast. And as soon as we started singing our worship songs, it started to pour. I mean, it was like sprinkling really hard. It was windy. And to tell you the truth, I really wasn't that happy about it. I mean, I was cold and wet and tired, and I didn't really want to be there. And I know that was a stinky attitude, but I was cold. And so, but then the band started playing Holy Spirit by Francesca Battistelli. And right before that song started to play, the sun was going down, and like I said, and the temperature started to drop. And but as soon as that song started playing, the atmosphere changed completely. I mean, the rain slowed down, and the noise and the music they were playing kind of blurred together for me. And I closed my eyes, and I started to sing, and I felt someone touch my shoulder, something like someone's just giving me encouragement or something. And when I turn around to see who it is, no one's there. And as soon, right after that, I said, okay, God, you have my full attention. What is it that I need to know? I mean, you got my attention. And, I mean, God brought me something that I went through as a young teenager that I really hadn't thought of in a really long time. And he told me that I was hanging on to this specific struggle and that I just needed to let it go. And I thought I'd tell you just briefly about what that was, because it was amazing to see what God had in mind. What God had in mind for that. I was 13 years old, and I received a phone call from a private number. And they left a voicemail for me. And from that moment I listened to the message, my whole world kind of fell apart around me. A girl left this message, and she said that I wasn't needed in this world anymore. That I wasn't wanted or worth it, that I wasn't beautiful or special to anyone. And they also said other words that I really don't want to repeat ever again. And I was emotionally and mentally harassed by a group of girls. And after a few months of these calls, I found myself starting to believe their lies, that I wasn't needed, wanted, or worth it. But then I kind of snapped out of it, and God got my attention and said, hey, that is not right what they are doing, but I will help you through all of this because I am with you. And the calls finally ended after a year. And all that was left was the hard part, forgiveness. And all I can say is that my God is mighty and powerful, because he found me lost and hurt, and he restored me to the confident person that I am today. And after 2 years of the phone call stopped, I wrote all of the girls letters telling them that I have forgiven them and that one day I hope to see them in paradise. And I can just look back at those years and say, wow, my God is amazing. He turned my dark situation and turned it into something good. And I was thinking that if I could go back in time, what would I change? A little girl asked me that, and I was thinking about it. And I know one thing for sure. I would not change my harassment experience for the world. I know that's kind of weird, but if I never experienced that, I would not have a deep understanding of love and forgiveness like I know today. I would know about it, but I wouldn't understand it. And I got to feel a glimpse, just a glimpse, of what Jesus felt when he was being beaten and rocks were thrown at him and he was whipped and he was spit on. And after all that, he said, "Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they are doing." And I was blessed to have a glimpse of what God's love is really like for us, to forgive and love unconditionally. I was blessed with that experience, not cursed with it. And God showed me that on that cold, rainy night, and I sort of started out with an attitude. It ended an amazing blessing. You see, I did not have a bad situation at 13. I had an amazing situation at 13. And I don't know about you guys, but that sounds like a really big blessing. And so on that rainy night, I completely let it go, and I was shown the love that he has for us. And just let me tell you, it's amazing. So thank you. Oh, and yeah, next is Elise. Sorry.
Okay, about when we went to NYR the first day that we had been there, I had felt the Holy Spirit, and he was telling me to tell my testimony to people. And about 3 years ago, I had fell backwards out of a swing, and I had fractured, I had compression fracture to my L1 vertebrae, and about 3 weeks after I had done that accident, my family was invited to a family camp with my cousin, and I was in a lot of pain, and I was put in a brace, and I went up to get prayed for, and it felt like the entire church had just gathered around me, and I completely felt the Holy Spirit. And later that night, we had that sermon. I was asked if I needed a painkiller, and I said no. I'm completely healed. I had no pain whatsoever. And then 3 days before we had to leave NYR, I had finally told my testimony to people, because I just, that last song that we had sang that night had gotten to me. And then I started crying, and Katie and another girl from NYR just came to me and hugged me, and so did Stevie, and later my mother had, and soon almost most of the youth group had, and Savannah did too. It all changed. I had no pain again whatsoever, and I just handed my life to God completely, because I had struggled with my back issues for ever since then, and I have these a few moments of silence and speaking to everybody, and all that pain just washed away. It's all gone. Thank you. Our next speaker is Skylar Berger.
Morning. Most of you guys already know who I am, but for those of you who don't, I'm Skylar Barker, as she previously said. I'm 15 years old, so I've been in the youth group for a couple years now. I believe NYR was a very beneficial trip, not just for the youth or me, but for the adults that went as well. The different classes were very good. I really learned a lot from those. Kind of the way that the speakers taught kind of gave me a different perspective on a lot of stories that I just looked at as Bible stories, you know. The music was also very, very good. The music was phenomenal. I really loved it. But there's one thing in particular I wanted to share with you guys, and a couple others have mentioned the same night, but it was a Wednesday night, you know, and it was the night that it had started raining, and we had got through the first worship session, and it was kind of starting to sprinkle a little bit, you know. I was thinking, well, all right, you know, I don't really want to be here. It's wet and cold. I was like, all right, you know, so let's get through this, and, you know. So we got through the message, and it was a good message. I wasn't really paying attention all that well, honestly, but then we got to the music, and I was, you know, I was kind of hoping that they would just not do the music because of the rain. I was like, okay, let's just go back to the tent. But they were doing the music. I was like, all right, let's get through these songs, you know, so we can go back to the fire where it's warm. And it was towards the end of the music. Towards the end, there was like the last two songs or something. I kind of just started looking up into the sky, you know, and I kind of just closed my eyes, and I didn't really make a conscious effort to do so. It just kind of happened. And so I closed my eyes, and I was just kind of swaying with the music, you know, kind of keeping a beat a little bit. And I felt like God said, tell me you love me. And I thought it was, you know, and it isn't that I didn't love him. It's just that I had never thought to actually tell him that. Because for you who know me, you probably already know this. And those of you who don't, it won't take you very long to figure out I'm not a very emotional person. I typically don't show my emotions. And so it's like, okay, you know. And so I told him I loved him. And about that time, I just started crying, you know. I was, tears were rolling down, and I was shaking, and I just couldn't stop. And it felt like somebody physically came up and just wrapped their arms around me. Like, it felt like there was somebody physically there holding me. I didn't feel the rain. I didn't feel the cold. It just felt like God's arms were wrapped around me. And so I was standing there, you know, still crying and stuff, and I felt like God told me to pray, just to start praying. He didn't say what about it, just said start praying. So I just started praying. And as I was praying, he started giving me names of different people. I've already shared this with the youth group. I felt like that night he wanted me to share it with them, so they've already heard this. I did share the names of the people with them. I do not feel that I should share them with you guys, but he just started giving me names of these people, and they were in a very specific order. And honestly, I don't remember a single word I prayed, because it wasn't me. God was speaking through me. And so he's just giving me these names of these people, and I was praying for these people. He was giving them to me, and he was showing me things about their lives that I otherwise would never know. And I was just praying for these people, and finally it got to the end, the last name. And this person is actually a person I knew very, very well and has hurt me very badly in the past, actually. And I didn't like that, because I didn't want to pray for him. I wanted to just forget about him. Let's not think about this. And so he started showing me things about this particular person's life, and it was really odd, because up until that point, I had felt nothing but anger, bitterness, and almost a hate every time I heard that person's name. And after that, while I was praying for them, I felt nothing but love and compassion and almost a desperateness to basically bring them back in to God, not for my own reasons or my own concerns, but to bring them back so that he can use them. And, you know, the message that day, all throughout the day, had been on forgiveness, and I kind of subconsciously knew that I had not forgiven that person, but I didn't really care. I kind of just wanted to stay mad at him, honestly. So But yeah, I've never ever felt that kind of power. And you know, it's, if you ever feel anything like that, you will know that it's not you, and it will really put you in your place. Because you realize just how small you are and how your life completely depends on God. So it was just an amazing experience. Thank you. Next up is Janine Vogel.
Well, first of all, I was not supposed to go. Where's Natalie? Oh. Well, I was Natalie. Last fall, when Tony and the youth group were planning this trip, Mike and I went to them and went to him and said, if you need any sponsors or do you need any, guards or something to go with you, And he said, no, we got it taken care of. I said, okay, So he said, well, I'll keep you in mind. And I think probably about 10 days before we were supposed to go, Tony said to me, what are you doing on the 24th? And I thought, there was something behind that, And so he said, Natalie can't go, and we need someone to take her place. And then he said, and it's already taken care of financially. You don't need to worry about that part of it. And I talked to Mike, and I had been praying for a respite. Does anybody know what a respite is? Respites are good, but sometimes we don't get them when we need them, and just needed some time to rest. Well, I don't think we got to do that there, but it was it was a different kind of a respite. Anything from what you're not used to doing or you're used to doing and something different ends up being a respite, and that really was that for me, so thank you. Everybody that prayed and donated, it was such a blessing to be able to go. And so then Tony and Natalie came over to our house, and we looked over at the menus. And Mike, of course, being a chef, and I'm the sous chef, I don't know how to cook very well, but I fooled those guys real good. But so Tony shows us the menu, and we looked at it, and we thought, oh, my gosh. I saw chili on there, and I said, well, so what kind of chili are you going to make? He says, Hormel. And so then Mike and I took the menus, and we made some changes to it, and it was a lot of fun. So gave Tony a hard time about that most of the week, But so I had fun. I was in charge of the kitchen, and I had all these wonderful kids that came with us. I got to know so many of them so much better, and even the adults too, but to get to know these kids, to know what they're struggling with and where they're at spiritually and what's going on in their lives was pretty cool. And so part of the messages that we heard the whole week was on the Lord's Prayer, or they call it the model prayer. And every pastor that was there, which there was some really unusual ones, let me tell you, right, guys? There was a pastor with ADHD. And he kept saying, what was that, Bobby? Come on, come on. He kept clapping his hands, and we kind of looked at him. We thought, is he talking to us? Or so then he grabbed his head, and he said, focus, focus, to himself. And I thought, and then Tony and I looked at each other, and we thought, can you imagine having him on a Sunday? Woo-wee, that'd be interesting. But each one of them took a part of the Lord's Prayer and expounded it for us in a way that, we read it, we've studied it, but to take hallowed be thy name, or forgive us our debts, or the different parts. And everybody seems to have mentioned the Wednesday service, which was on forgiveness. Man, that's a tough one. And I think these kids realize that some of us are still working on some of that stuff. And the pastor said, every day, temptation, opportunities to forgive abound. We don't have to worry about finding anything. It was a very, very wonderful time. Toward the end there, I was called Mom. So it was just a wonderful opportunity. I got to, didn't get any extra sleep. And right before I fell and hurt my leg, I'd been praying, boy, it'd be nice to get some extra sleep. Oh, I did. Not, you know, I didn't ask how that prayer would be answered, but, you know. But I wanted to thank everybody for allowing us to have your kids, and now I know what's kids go with what parents. You don't know that kind of stuff. We haven't been in the church but a couple years, so I know Alexis, mom and dad, and all sorts of things about the kids that were real good that now we can continue to pray for them because, that age group is tough, very, very tough. But the messages that those kids got to hear were specifically for the youth, but, man, they were good for us too. So I want to thank you again for letting us go. And Sherry and Rick, I want to thank for the T-shirts. They made us all 2 T-shirts that were neat to take with us and got to know some other people a lot better. So thank you very much. Oh, next is Caitlin. Caitlin's going to speak next. All right, there you go.
Hello. For most of you people, well, basically all of you, I am Caitlin, and I have been really blessed with going on this trip and meeting everybody there, having a new friends, family, because 3 years ago, after Christmas break, there was this new girl at school. And for some reason, she didn't really like me very much and decided to go around spreading rumors about me, you know, all this other stuff. And so I basically had no friends. I'd come home every day after school, you know, lock myself in my bedroom and wait for my mom to come home because I have a twin sister and me and her don't really get along very much. For some people, they think twins are supposed to have this relationship. Me and Chrissy have this relationship about fighting, and me and her can only pick on each other. If other people pick on each other, it's not a good situation. I think God had a plan to have me not have any friends. Like, I would have, for the past 3 years, I blamed God for not giving me or having this person come to my school and not have people stop being my friends. But I think God planned that, and I am very, very glad that he did, because I have a feeling that if I had the friends that I did, I wouldn't have gone on this trip and not met the wonderful people as I did now. I met a lot of new people. They're like a family to me now. I met Jennifer. Jennifer is one of my really, really best friends. At first, on the day that we left, I thought that I wasn't going to meet as much people as I did. And I didn't really expect to surrender my life to Jesus. I think God just planned that out. It was a Tuesday night, and my friend Elise, she heard that I wanted to get baptized, surrender my life to Jesus. And that night, they had these people come up in front of the stage and pray for us. And Elise, I guess she, impacted me to go up there and get prayed for. And they have these little cards, you know, says check here if you want to get baptized or something like that. And I checked to get baptized and have Lord as my Savior. And I am very thankful that I went on this trip and met all these new people and have more friends than I had in a very long time. Thank you. And next up is Maya Case.
Hi, I'm Maya. My dad is a pastor. Just one thing you should know about me with this trip. I'm a very stubborn person, and I'd like everything to go my way. Tony can, I don't even know, talk about that. Going there, I didn't listen very well because I'm stubborn. And I wasn't with my youth group for most of the time. And we played this game on the first Sunday called Kill Ball. And it's with a volleyball, and you all are in a circle, and you're, like, hitting the ball back and forth. And then if you drop the ball, you have to go in the middle, and people try and hit you with the ball. That's why it's called Kill Ball. And so I dropped the ball and had to go in the middle while before worship started. And this guy, he goes in to hit it, and he just smacks me right across the face. And he became my best friend that week because of that. And his youth group sort of adopted me. I don't even know most of their names. But we played volleyball for 4 hours one day, and I got very sunburnt. I didn't spend much time with my youth group because I was always with them. And one day during worship, I was with them, and they had this screen like ours, and they, like, record the crowd. And you just see Tony seeing me on the screen. He's like, "Where is she?" And I'm just there like, "Don't look at me." But if I had to choose three words to describe NYR, it'd probably be 3-minute showers. And because I'm stubborn, I will not take a shower unless I can take it for over 10 minutes. So I didn't take a shower that whole week. Nobody knew. Going to NYR, I had a thought in my mind that I kept there all throughout the week, and over I would say to myself, you can either make this an adventure or an ordeal. Most of the week, I made an ordeal. For a lot of the week, I wasn't a very happy camper, and I was a problem child for everyone. I argued against everything, and I questioned the leader's decisions constantly. With my personality, people, if they don't respect me, then I probably am not going to give them any respect at all. Which I started to realize throughout the week that God didn't say respect if they respect you. So I decided to change my opinion on respect to, if they respect you, respect them. If they disrespect you, still respect them. Do not allow the actions of others to decrease your good manners, because you represent yourself in God and not others. At camp, I did a lot of soul searching, which I do a lot, and I've always had a hard time trying to figure out who to be. I'm a people pleaser a lot of the time, and I want people to like me and to know my name. And one night at camp, we were given a chance to talk, and I spoke about unforgiveness. I had had a lot of unforgiveness in my heart towards my friends, my family, my parents, and my church, and I'd been building up for a while. And I said to the youth group that I used to look forward to walking to church on Sunday morning with all the nice people who would always say hello and ask me how I was doing. And then it changed, or as my dad likes to say, and then it started. I had some people who would talk about me inside the church, and it would somehow always get back to me. And I said to the youth group, it sucks. I feel more judged in my own church than in a public high school. And then walking to church on Sunday morning became a nightmare for me. And I'd be concerned about what people thought about me, or if they had just got done saying something about me. And I became so concerned about what everyone thought about me that I stopped worrying about the one person who mattered thought. By the way, it's God. And forgiving became easier for me throughout that week ever since I started to listen to what the pastor was saying, and it was really awesome for me. But ever since I was a kid, the sort of unforgiveness towards my family came. I've just been expected to love God. And growing up in a Christian home with my dad being a pastor, I felt like I was expected to be perfect, and that often got to me. Sunday school teachers would expect me to know the answers to their questions, even if I didn't, or if I got the answer wrong, they would be like, didn't your dad teach you this? Or how do you not know this yet? And it made me feel stupid or that I wasn't good enough. And with my family, it felt like if I didn't love Jesus, then I wasn't going to be loved by my family. So growing up, I was never really given a chance to love Jesus. So I was just told that I had to do it. And then I got to the high school, and two worlds collided. Every day, my two worlds would drag me by the hand, saying, this is important, and this is, and this is. And you need to worry about this, and that you need to worry about what you look like and what you wear. And every day, it was up to me to yank my hand back and say, this is what's important, what's in here, and what's what matters, not what everyone else sees or thinks. Sorry, I'm going to go everywhere in this message. So I was texting my friend from NYR, and we were talking about people we look up to. And I said, I've always looked up to my mom, even if she doesn't know it. And then I started talking about her, and I told him something she said to me that has just stuck with me since my freshman year. She said, think of your heart as a puzzle. Every time you give a piece away, you start to lose sight of the picture. Now she was talking about guys at that point in time. But throughout the years, for me, it grew to be everyone. I was giving a piece of my heart to anyone. I'd be like, oh, you like the color blue? So do I. Take this. Oh, you like peanut butter? Well, I hate it, but I'd still like for you to take this. You went to high school and I'm in high school. You hurt me, so I'm going to give this to you and you keep it because that piece hurts. And eventually I just had nothing left to give to God. I became just bitter and angry at everyone. And at camp, my outer color started to show, and I was angry and upset. And I was often had this mask of happiness up. And I had to work to get my heart back to normal and to get my heart right. I had to get rid of all the unforgiveness and the hate and the sadness. And I had to think to myself every morning that what's inside is what matters and what God thinks is what matters. Then one night, we had a pastor. I honestly couldn't tell you any of their names. But he talked about prayer, and he said, you always find us asking God for the things we need. And he goes on talking about his daughter as she was sick and her kidneys were failing her. He kept praying to God. He said, please, God save her. And his daughter kept getting worse and worse, and she needed a new kidney. And they were looking for someone to donate. And he's in his little girl's hospital room asking, why, God, why would you do this? Why aren't you saving her? And then he just starts thinking. He's like, I keep asking for stuff, but I've never given time to thank God for what I have. So he just sits there, and he starts thanking God and praising him, saying stuff like, thank you, God, for the nurses. Thank you for this hospital bed. He just goes on and on like that, and then he says something that brought me to tears. He said, 2 weeks later, my baby girl got a kidney transplant, and he puts his hand on his stomach and says, I will always have the scar to remind me of the day I will be able to give a kidney to my little girl. And he used his hands and said, half of prayer is asking God for stuff, but half of it should be for praying or for thanking. And then yesterday, I don't know if you know what Instagram is, it's just like Facebook, and I see this quote, and it says, if you never thank God after every smile, then you have no right to blame him after every tear. And I don't know if that was a night or a different night of the week, but Sherry Gibney prayed for me. In that prayer, she thanked God for me and said something about me being able to walk into a room and make everyone smile. And it got me. For so long, when people prayed for me, it was like person to person. It was usually just them praying for what was wrong with me or something bad about me. I was just like, wow, oh my gosh, she just thanked God for something about me. It was so different, and I wasn't used to that happening. And that week, it just really showed a lot. And I may have got yelled at every day for something I did wrong or another. And I may have got sunburnt really bad, but I did have a good time. I learned a lot. I met a lot of amazing people. We also may have nearly drowned in a river that was not safe for swimming in. And we may have drove an hour for 20 minutes of hiking, which is my favorite time because I talked in an Australian accent the whole time. And now we have this joke about Tony, because I wasn't having a good day with him that day. And we call him the youth beast, because he was hunting for us when he was looking for us while we were hiking. I told Alexis, I said, I look at her, the feared youth beast. He can smell happiness, so be careful. But it was an amazing week. I'm very thankful for Tony and everyone who donated for us. And I'm very happy to be here and to have gone to see beautiful Colorado. Thank you.
I gotta have this. I'm sorry. It's out of the youth room. You know, just it's a comfort thing. Okay. First of all, just want to echo what everyone said. Thank you so much for all of your donations and your prayers. Much needed. Very challenging trip. Very stretching for me, but awesome. It was well worth it. Now, what I'd like to do is I'm going to share just a few things, and I'm going to give a little snippet of one of the messages that we went over at camp. But before we do that, Caleb, we get the Lord's Prayer. Okay, and a lot of you guys have this memorized, I'm sure, but we did this every day, every morning, and every night. I want you guys to say this with me. Our Father in heaven,
hallowed be thy name. Your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we also forgive our debtors. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Kingdom, power, and glory forever. Amen.
That was pretty good. We're going to say it one more time at the end, just to let you know. First of all, I just want to praise God, okay, before I get into anything else. He is King of Kings. He is the Lord of Lords. He is Alpha and the Omega. Everything that I needed was supplied to me supernaturally or last minute or whatever. Everything that we needed on this trip was taken care of. Okay, and God gave me a peace, gave me wisdom beyond my own. Okay, I'm not really a camper, even though I did grow up a Boy Scout. I mean, the only thing I know how to, from Boy Scouts is how to tie a few knots and, you know, maybe start a fire, maybe. But I just want to thank God for all the leaders that went, the time that they took, and, you know, dealing with me, first of all. I know I can be a little bit difficult sometimes. You know, thank the youth for all their cooperation with the daily jobs and tasks and whatnot. But God is good. God is great. And, you know, personally, did a lot of things, which I'll talk about in my heart on this trip. So we all like, you know, top five or top tens, you know, like best movies, best songs, whatever. And I kind of came up with a top five things from this trip. And the first thing, number five, would be God's creation. Okay. In Sedalia, Colorado there, it's just gorgeous. It's beautiful. The mountains, if you know, we didn't have too many pictures of the mountains, but just gorgeous just to be there. The waterfalls there, Helen Hunt Falls, not named after the, you know, actress and Twister or whatever. And just going to see all the neat things that we went to Platte River. We also went to Garden of the Gods. That was awesome. And the weather and the temperature was just phenomenal. Okay, I'm a fall person. I love the fall. So when you go to bed at night, it's, you know, in the evening, it's fall-like weather. And when you wake up, it's fall. And then in the middle of the day, it's summer. So it's great. And just the weather was great, too. It only rained a couple times, but I'll talk about that here in a second. The fourth thing was the teaching, the Lord's Prayer. And I'll talk about, they call it the model prayer. Miss Vogel brought that up. That was another way of looking at it. But we had teachings twice a day. Three times a day. We broke off into our classes. And then family time. I tried not to teach, but I'm sure there were some times when I did. Okay. But the teaching was phenomenal. The third thing was worship. The band, the Jordan Howerton Band, that band was, they are anointed. Okay, their heart is for God. Their heart is for youth and for people. Phenomenal. A couple of songs that we played during the PowerPoint was that band. They're just great. Professional, just down to earth. You know, when we had free time, they were open. We can go talk to them. Bobby got to talk to them about worship and a few things that we might be able to bring here. We'll see. But just great. And the Lord
you know, just above them, the Lord was awesome during praise and worship. A lot of breakthroughs, a lot of things that I wasn't expecting. The rain, we talked all about that today. That was phenomenal for me. I've never praised God while it's raining, like actually worshiping during music. And that's something that will stick with me probably for the rest of my life. It was just phenomenal. It was special. I don't know how else to explain it. Number two thing on this trip was the fellowship. I got to know Bobby and Rick a lot better on this trip. Okay, they're a lot funnier than they are here in Sunday services or Wednesday services. Got to joke around with them a lot, if not too much, probably driving Miss Vogel crazy the entire trip. But I got to know them as well as all the youth. I really enjoyed getting to know some of the younger members that I don't really know too well yet because they're new. But I also enjoyed spending time with Stevie. We played chess. I'm not going to tell you the record on that one. Yes, we did keep track. But it was great. It was awesome getting to know Miss Vogel as well. I honestly didn't know her before this trip besides, hey, how you doing, you know. And she's very funny lady, and it was awesome. So fellowship was good. But number one, God. Okay, he did some mighty things in this group, just in NYR in general. Caitlin surrendered her life. That's awesome. Okay, we also had a couple baptisms this past Wednesday because of this trip, because that's what God wanted. And just there was numerous breakings. There was numerous, just you knew God was there. You knew God was moving. You knew God was just speaking to us. And there were a lot of things in my life that the Lord just broke down in my heart, broke down those strongholds the Bible talks about. And I could just tell that the Lord just penetrated and was speaking to me directly and healing my heart of a lot of things, which I will talk about in a minute. So, great time. Now, here's a little mini lesson, okay, for you guys. Mini message, I should say. I'm not in my classroom, okay? But, first of all, here's a few of the highlights from some of the speakers, and I'll get into the Lord's Prayer here in a second, but they called it a model prayer. Not just the Lord's Prayer, not something we should just memorize and recite, but it's something that we should think about, meditate on, and try to live out. Another key point that I got was that if you want to live like Jesus, you need to pray like Jesus. And Jesus prayed. This is the model prayer. And there is just some very, very important things in this prayer that we can do every single day. Forgiveness was a big part of what the youth got out of, me too. But you guys can, every single day, when you either you recite it or read it, we can live that out, okay, and be like Jesus. And I believe Maya also touched on this, that sometimes we treat prayer like a daily routine or just something that we do every day, and we go to Jesus if we need something. And honestly, it does need to be part of our life every single day. Okay? It needs to be there needs to be a regiment, there needs to be a routine, but we can't just treat God and prayer like a vending machine, okay, or a personal genie or butler. And I like that illustration that the teacher was saying, that prayer's like 50-50, thanking God for what you have, and then also asking God for what you need, okay? It should be equal. Also, we should treat prayer like a cell phone, and that we can always pray at a moment's notice and call upon our Heavenly Father for anything big or small. One of the teachers talked about how his son, who is like 3 or 4, would call in the middle of a meeting, hey, Daddy, can I have my gummy bears or whatever? And it's like that. It can be big or small. It doesn't matter. God is there, and he's listening, and he wants to hear from you. A few scripture references here. 1 Thessalonians 5:16 through 18, and I'll just read these. Rejoice always. Pray without ceasing. Give thanks in all circumstances, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. So pray without ceasing, without stopping. That doesn't mean like when you go home today and just you're going to start praying and forget everything else. And then it also says give thanks in all circumstances. Okay, so you need to pray. It's the will of God for your life. And then Philippians 4:6, do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. That's NIV version. And then lastly here, main point, and this is from the Lord's Prayer, Matthew 6:12. Forgive us our debts, and we will also forgive our debtors. Okay, that was a huge... That impacted our youth a lot. I mean, big time, huge. You guys heard the testimonies with Mariah and Skylar and many others, Maya, myself. Very strong response also in my life. Just a few takeaways from that. The Lord forgives us our sins, so why can't we forgive ourselves? I talked about that one family night, is that sometimes it's easier to forgive others than ourselves. But you have to learn how to love yourself before you can love your neighbor, the first and second greatest commandment. And then by his stripes we are healed. There's no reason why we should keep adding or abusing ourselves, beating ourselves up. And then in Isaiah 53:5, it says, but he was pierced for our transgressions, he was crushed for our iniquities. The chastening for our well-being fell upon him. That'd be Jesus. And by his wounds, we are healed. There's no need to beat yourself up, okay, over stuff that happened. Maybe things that you had no control over. Maybe it's your own fault. Whatever. Okay. But there's no reason. You need to learn how to forgive yourself because you are forgiven. That kind of defeats the purpose of the cross. Really, if you can't really learn how to forgive what you've done and just stop beating yourself up. Another point here is that forgiveness, it's kind of funny, and Mariah kind of talked about it. It can bring up things or people that you completely forgot about, okay? And but this is our response to that. Mark 11:25 says, and when you stand praying, if you hold anything against anyone, forgive him or her, so that your Father in heaven may forgive you your sins. Okay, forgive, forgive, forgive. And it's funny, you might have forgotten about something, you might have forgotten about that person or whatever, but when you start hearing lessons and teachings on forgiveness, those things can creep back up. It's a daily thing. And Ms. Vogel talked about that as well, is that it's a daily exercise. Okay, wipe the slate clean, just like Jesus wipes the slate clean for us. Okay, and in closing here, you know, I just want to say, you know, thank you so much again. You guys, we couldn't have done this without you. We are the body of Christ. And when you sow into the kingdom, either by prayer or with your money, you know, it's gonna, this youth group's gonna, man, it's just gonna be awesome. The testimonies are all worth it. And just on a personal note, you know, I actually, like I said, I've had a lot of breakthroughs on this trip, and I had to learn how to forgive myself. I had to learn how to get over some major things, some personal things, especially with issues around my brother. And I had to let it go. I had to just be healed. By his wounds, we are healed. Okay? And I had to let it go. So thank you once again. And at this time, before I hand it over to Pastor, could we get the Lord's Prayer one more time? And then we're going to say it one more time, too. So here we go. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. Forgive us our debts, we forgive our debtors. Do not lead us into temptation. Deliver us from the evil one. For yours is the kingdom and the power and glory forever. Amen.
And thank you, brother. Excellent. That is just so satisfying. What a blessing that is. You know, the various things that we receive, one thing that really stood out, such a mark of maturity, particularly with Mariah and Caitlin, is they can look back at some of their disaster times and they can acknowledge God. They can even say, it was good that the Lord had allowed that affliction in my life. Wow. Now that's called maturity. And that's I just thank God. And you know, as we are allowed to go through afflictions and difficulties, the Lord's Prayer, your will be done. There are times when it's God's will that He lays us low, He tries us. Many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivers them from them all. And I just want you to be encouraged in that today. And why don't we stand and pray and just take what we've heard and let it go deep in our hearts. God, I just thank you. You're sovereign. You're in control, Lord. You oversaw this trip from beginning to end. It was already in your heart from the foundation of the world. And the trials, the pains that some of these precious ones have suffered, that your saints go through here, that some might even be struggling with right now. Lord, that is not outside of your view. There's nothing new to you. Lord, you have a plan. You have a purpose, Lord, and the end is always good. Your innumerable thoughts towards your precious ones are thoughts for good, thoughts that give hope and give a purpose. And I pray, God, that you just bless your people today. If there's some that are weary, build them up with the word. Let these words heal. Precious Jesus, thank you, Lord. Lord, if there's one here that doesn't know you as Savior, may they by faith cry out after you and believe on you, Jesus Christ, be saved and forgiven. Lord, we honor you for this time that we've had together. Pray your favor upon your people. I pray they go in peace and come back Wednesday in the same way. In your name I pray, Jesus. Amen.